Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 65. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, routines and interior doors.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. With a little help from your friends and the proper know-how. This week, got a mashup. We're going to talk a little bit about interior doors and a little bit about routines and how we probably need better routines because we don't really have really good routines.
Speak for yourself.
So we're going to talk about that. You know, it kind of gets into more planning your week out and that sort of thing. So that's what we got coming up. Guys, what has been going on this week?
Man, I had an AirPod incident. Josh, I know you had a bit of a snafu with your AirPods recently, right?
Washed them.
Ran them through the washer. So I don't run with my AirPods. I think that's where you ran into an issue was you left them in whatever your little lap band
thing. Have we talked about this? You don't even listen to anything when you run?
I don't. Now,
that's so weird.
Yeah, it's. I prefer not to. If I go on like a long run, anything, if I go
anything like over 2 miles.
Okay, watch it. Anything over probably 4 miles. So when I'm running like a 10K, not in a race, I'll wear my AirPods. I'll listen to whatever.
It's bad form to listen to music in a race.
Yeah, it's not a great thing to do.
Just so you know.
Well, you're there for a purpose.
Yes.
Right?
Well, it can also be you're supposed to be able to be aware of your surroundings. Because like in a race, especially something like the Peachtree, if you're like trying to move through a crowd and stuff, you might.
Never done a race. Wouldn't know about
Well, if
that.
You do, Tim, and you should.
Don't wear your Walkman.
It's allowed. And this was actually a change, at least for the Atlanta Track Club.
People do it all the
time.
They
banned it. It was like banned, like officially banned, right. I think, for a while. And then now it's just like frowned upon.
Well, anyway, I don't roll my AirPods normally, but I do work out with them, right? So when I go work out, I work out in my garage. Bragging. But when I work out, I'll wear my AirPods. So I was pulling laundry out of the dryer the other day, and I hear something fall to the bottom. I'm like, what was that?
No.
It's my AirPod case. And you had
the case.
You had the right. I'm like, oh, it's just the case. Okay. Well, I'm like, I think that thing's like $100. But so these are the AirPod Pros. These are the newer ones because that's how I roll. But so I open it up. There's nothing in there. I'm like, shoot, where are my AirPods? I'm like, I always leave them in the case. And so then I look and I see one at the bottom of the dryer. And I'm like, oh, man, like my heart just sinks. Find the other one. When I opened up the case, the light came on. So I was like, huh. So I had run them through the washer. And the dryer, and then left them there.
And the dryer.
Yeah, and the dryer. Oh. Left them there for like a day or whatever, because that's what you do with your clothes in the dryer. And find them. They work totally fine. It was amazing.
Congrats.
It was amazing. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Tim, do you listen to music when you run?
I go back and forth between podcasts or music.
Okay.
When I was younger,
I'm always listening to something.
So when I was younger, I could not do it. I had to be able to like hear the rhythm of my breathing and stuff, and it just really bothered me. Now I can do it. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be a thing I do.
Yeah, I'm almost 100% podcast when I'm running, like listening to a podcast, and I don't use headphones in races. And it doesn't, like, there's no effect. Like, I don't notice that I don't have them. Because when I'm racing, I'm, like, trying to pay attention to my pace and, like, be very specific about how I'm feeling, paying attention to that. So, but I know there's people out there that, like, absolutely cannot run without music, even in a race.
I think I could do it without it, but I do enjoy listening to something. And I was going to say, too, early on when I first started running, it was actually kind of difficult to listen to music and run because I was using so much mental energy to continue running, if that makes sense, that it was the beat of the music or something was messing with me and like all this kind of stuff. But now that's done. I can keep the same pace and listen to like classical music
or reggae that
or
you
rap
love.
See,
or
when
whatever.
I mean, when I'm in the pain zone, like when I'm hurting, that's when I cannot have anything like talking to me in my ear. Like I'm done.
You do the Metallica, all that.
I know I can't do anything. Like when I'm hurting and I have like a podcast going, I want to rip my ears off. Yeah, I don't know what that is, but anyway,
focus. Whatever. It's focus.
It is focus.
All right. Well, we tried to go to the lake this weekend. We are blessed with in-laws with a boat. and get up there, try to start the motor.
Oh boy.
Nothing happens. Accessories are working, so we're like, okay, it's the battery. But the battery is, it's a marine battery, it's only a year old. So we're like,
it's always the battery.
Yeah, and I say we, and it's like me and my father-in-law trying to troubleshoot this. So I have what everyone should have, and I've talked about on a podcast, and I bought for myself one of those jumpers that you keep in your car.
Yes.
The lithium batteries that can jump start a car. And this one says it can jump start like a huge diesel truck if you need it to.
Or pop a pontoon boat.
Yeah. So I pop that thing on there, and it even has a voltage reader, a voltmeter built into it. So you can just clip on the leads without plugging it into the charger, and it tells you the voltage, and it was like half of what it should have been. So I was like, okay, that's a weak battery, but the boat didn't try to do anything when you tried to turn it over. Mm. Like no sounds, but the lights were working. Just bizarre. So I guess not too bizarre. Anyway, put the jumper on it. Nothing. Same thing. And I'm like, this boat should crank up with this jumper hooked up to the
if
battery.
It's the
like
battery.
It should immediately go. But again, no noise. So I'm like, starter, probably something's not right with that. But we went to Walmart anyway because it was only a year old and Walmart would give you your money back. So we went to Walmart, got a brand new battery, put it in there just to make sure, because we don't have many tools. He has like two wrenches and it's an outboard motor. So I'm like, I can't even lift the hood on the thing hardly because you have to hang out over the water off the back of the pontoon. Anyway, no luck. So we spent half a day working on this, trying to get this, not half a day, a couple hours, but it was a little drive too. Luckily, we ended up somewhere where my boys could go swimming because they were
standing there on the dark,
yeah,
on the dock.
But you know what? I was like, this is a little taste of my childhood, kids, because we owned a boat. It's like a 1962 boat that my cousin restored, and he only restored it recently. When we were kids, it was just an old boat. Every single time we'd go on that boat, it was half the time we'd have to paddle it back in.
If you have an old boat, you have a problem.
And half the time it wouldn't start. So I was like, well, you're welcome, kids. This is what I dealt with.
So the boat never cranked up.
Never cranked. Going to have to get it looked at by a mechanic.
Oh, boy.
So
That
was an adventure for the weekend.
I've had motors not start and the battery was good and even accessories would work, but it would not start because it was a bad connection on the cables. Mm-hmm. So you would look at it and you're like, it's solid.
Yeah.
But there was some corrosion and it just wasn't solid enough for it to have the
enough juice to crank it over.
Has the boat been out this season?
No,
it hasn't run
this season.
How's the gas?
It's kind of a first.
Old gas?
No, but it didn't do anything. There was no noises of the engine trying to turn over. Mm. Like not even a click of...
I'm going to say starter solenoid.
Yeah, I want to drive up there and kind of,
That's what I'm thinking. The battery looked... I mean, the original battery looked pristine. The leads were pristine. And we obviously took them off to put the new battery in. So there's a fuse, an inline fuse right there. It probably went to the accessories, but the fuse was still good. So I was checking everything I could reach anyway. I've never worked on an outboard motor.
Everybody listening is like, oh, it's probably this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, the wheels are turning,
simple,
right?
Simple fix.
Did you guys ever listen to Car Talk?
It was Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
I love that show. Yeah. Is it still on?
No, they're dead, I think. One of them's dead.
Oh, dang.
That was a great show.
Rest in peace.
But I loved it because they would be talking, somebody call in. So for those of you that don't know, it was on public radio. It was called Car Talk.
They were radio very show. Northern from Massachusetts or Rhode Island or something.
Yeah. And they had been mechanics, I guess, for years. And so they would have people call in and be like, my car is making this noise or doing this or whatever. And then they would try to diagnose the problem on air. So it was great because you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's totally this. And then, you get to kind of find out what it was.
Yeah, they were hilarious. Funny guys.
I never caught that show.
Come on, man. I had it on tape.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I had tapes of it.
Okay. Wow. Anyways, yeah, I like that. But I set a new personal record today at the mountain. When I say the mountain, for those of you that are just joining us, I talk a lot about Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield Park. It is the nation's most visited National Battlefield Park, and it's the best green space in all of Atlanta, I like to think.
It's beautiful.
tons of acreage. I don't know. I think it's like 3,000 acres.
What? No way.
It sounds like a lot, but it's big.
It's pretty big. So, I mean, because it's a really...
If only we had a way to verify that.
Right. So, I have this about a six-mile loop, which is up and over both mountains. Now, when we say mountains, when I say Kennesaw Mountain...
It's a serious hill.
It's really a really big hill. If you're from Colorado and you come visit Atlanta and you're like, you know what? I just heard the guys on UK Man talk so much about Kennesaw Mountain. I want to just go take a trip there. You're going to look at it and be like, that is not a mountain.
Sadly, it is less than 1,000 feet from ground level to the top
of
the mountain. Right. So, yeah, not a mountain. But it's a mountain for us.
Hey,
right?
Well, then my...
it's the biggest thing in the area.
Yep.
Whatever. What do you call it? Altimeter? What
altimeter.
Is that? Altimeter? Is that how you say it? Yeah. Okay, well, then that was correct because it said like a little over 1,000 gain or something.
Okay. I was going to say, if you went over GPS both or mountains. Didn't happen, man.
Yeah,
right. If you went over both hills,
Yeah. But what I used to do in 2 hours... I just did today in like 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I was going to ask you, a six mile loop over both mountains.
Yeah, it's because I was running, obviously, a good chunk of it.
Like running up Kennesaw, that's no joke.
I didn't run up it.
Okay. Walked up it, ran down it?
Yeah.
Should be a new challenge.
You guys need to come with me sometime. Yeah. And also, I really think
I've done that route before.
Yeah, I think it's the red loop. So if you look online, I'm pretty sure it is.
Run.
Anyways, I think we should do, if you're local to the Atlanta area,
a meetup.
I think we should do a UK man hike.
With masks and gloves and social distancing.
Of course. But I think we should do that. Maybe this summer. I think that'd be good. Now, you got to meet me at like 6:15 a.m.
Well, that's when everyone's available.
There's the criteria.
That time.
And you're definitely not going to want to do that hike in 1 hour and 10 minutes. I'll tell you that.
Hey, Tim.
It's a beast.
Yes.
The national park is 2,923
acres. There you go.
He was wrong.
About 3,000 acres.
3,000 acres. That's huge.
Over a million visitors. Why did they? That was last updated in 2005, Wikipedia.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I don't know.
It is, I've heard, the most visited battlefield.
I've heard that from Tim, so.
All right. True. Let's get into talking about our two topics today. All right, routines. Now, we were talking about this, and we're thinking, you know, routines are good, and each of us has somewhat of routines. But not really.
I don't know what you guys mean. My life is a routine. I do the same things every day, and I don't change it up.
With purpose?
Is that what you mean?
Right. It's the purpose, I think.
I think I don't have purpose because I think that's my general personality. It's just to wake up, take a shower, go to work, come home, go to sleep.
Go through those motions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the specificity of daily routines varies widely among the population. I think we all know people who... You know, they're like, I wake up at 5:30 a.m. I, you know, do a Bible study or I stretch or I do my coffee. And then I, you know, it used to be read the paper back in the day. All these little things they do just before work, like they have a whole five set of things they do before work and then they go to the work. And then during their day at work, you have people that do what's called time blocking a lot in corporate America. Where you have specific blocks of the day on your calendar to do very specific things instead of just like replying to email, like as they come in and just being really disorganized. It's just structuring your day with a purpose.
Yeah, I want more of that in my life. And up till, I don't know, I've been, you know, going through all the changes that I have with working out and all this kind of stuff and losing all the weight, it has given me more like purpose and planning and that sort of thing. But I'd always kind of bucked against that mentality. And I'm the older I get, the more I'm adopting it and the more influence my wife is having over me because she is a super planner and she could seriously be like some sort of, I don't know,
whatever job
consultant
that is.
Or something
to plan your life.
Yes. Yes. Some sort of something like that. She could totally do that. So I kind of am embracing that a little bit more. I think that I am generally more of a freer spirit when it comes to that. And like, I don't know. It's weird because, like, I still want to be in a position of being able to drop things and not be stressed, meaning if somebody really, really needs me, I don't want to be in a position of being like, yeah, how about next Tuesday at 9:30? Like, I don't necessarily want to do that. I see the value in that, but I also see the value in taking things as they come.
See, you can do it. You can do it, and you can add structure to your life, I think, but you don't have to do it all at once. Like, you can add small things over a period of time and see what works and see what doesn't work.
I mean, this is mostly, I'd say, personality-based. I mean, there are people, like your wife, who are born with that mentality. Did I say that aggressively? Born. with that mentality and that structure already in their brains, and they can, so everything they look at, they kind of see through that lens.
I think we all need a little bit of help from people like that.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think everyone should use a little of it. And I think the people who are like the super planners, I don't know if you just coined that term, but they want to be able to account for like that hour of that day. They want to say, they want to look back and be like, I did these things during that time. Whereas other people on the other end of the spectrum may not have, you know, they may not have an account of that.
And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Maybe I should have a problem with it, but it even came up today. I'm still working on these loft beds for my girls, which are turning out amazing. But I'm nearing the finish line, and my wife was talking about, okay, what's the game plan? What do we got going on? I got a game plan in my head, all right? Like, I got it down.
Get there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things, well, I know the things that need to get done, so I'm going to do those. That's my plan, right?
Right.
But she's
that's
like, well, no. There's steps involved, and it'll help you think through how much time these things are going to take. And so then my first go-to is, well, I don't know how much time it's going to take me. So why would I take the time to figure that out? Because then it's just going to be a disappointment when it takes me 5 hours to sand like it did today.
I think this is an age-old thing. I mean, I hear my mom and dad arguing about this same thing. You know, like one person's the planner, one person's not. And so they're both kind of driven crazy by each other because they can't get on the same page.
Yeah. But then you got to, I mean, that's part of whatever.
Yeah, you gotta give a little, right?
Yeah, both people can learn from each other, right?
But now I'm more in a position of being more accepting of that and adopting that.
You've seen the light a little bit, so to speak, right? That, hey, there's a little bit of some good to this.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I like your point about just the exercise, because I'm also a person that doesn't, I just do generally the big chunks of like, yeah, I wake up, I get ready for the day, I go to work, come home, hang out with the kids, do the lawn, whatever needs to be done, put the kids to bed, hang out with my wife. Let's do it again the next day.
Right.
But adding this running program and getting ready for a marathon, I have a very regimented schedule, at least 5 days a week of running that has to get done.
You have to.
And I don't want to take, my wife is already super flexible and supportive of the exercise because it's having great effects on our family as a whole. Just we're all doing a little better physically. And I don't want to take that time away in the afternoon. So you move it early in the morning and that's not, it doesn't feel the best when you're in bed at 5:30 a.m., but it's when it has to get done. And I've always heard, and if you guys follow Jocko Willink, he's up at 4:30 a.m. regardless of what coast he's on. And he says, it's because no one can steal that time from me. That is always my time. And I was like, that's super profound. That early morning time, it's all yours. And if you don't want to use it, don't wake up early.
Yeah, I have become a person that wakes up very early so many times. So this morning I was at the mountain. I think I woke up at like 5:40-ish something. I think it was at the mountain I started hiking it a little before 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It's early.
So, and then you got the whole day ahead of you.
Well, now the good thing, so you talked about planning out your workouts, I think, a little bit. And I might have referenced this before, but probably our nearest competitor, Joe Rogan, talks about how he, at the beginning, I think he said on Sunday, he will plan out the workouts that he has to do for the week. And then he says he owes those things to himself. Like he is in debt and he has to pay himself back those workouts. And whenever they get done, they get done. But he owes those workouts. And I like that way of thinking about it.
Yeah, I've always heard high functioning people like him I've even heard this with comedians like Ray Romano. I've heard talk about this same concept of, you know, almost like a punishment, like set these goals and then you must punish yourself if you do not achieve them. And it's because like these guys are ultra wealthy, all the money in the world. So they have to put these restrictions on themselves, right, and these little contests and games.
Yeah, I have that same problem
around their, around themselves, just to hold themselves accountable. I want to mention before we get off the topic, we had Phil Goodman on from the Time to Pivot podcast. He had a podcast, one of his early episodes, called Routines and the Power of Scheduling, and his guest was Joseph Delaney. He did a masterful job of laying out just an everyday man's schedule, everyday person's, you know, those early morning routines you can do, how you can block out your day at work even to just be more productive. And that was just, again, it's time, the Time to Pivot podcast. Great, great episode.
Okay, we'll try routines to remember to link that in our show notes.
Yep.
Okay, so now let's have a natural progression.
Hard transition.
To interior doors.
We got a plan.
You got a plan. Do a new project. Right? So Dave is about to hopefully install some interior doors, some French doors.
Whoa. I would like to. This all came up because it's not on the it's not on the docket yet, but I would like to put in some French doors because hopefully right now we're on the, I don't even want to say it, but I hope we're on the back end of COVID for the moment. And been working from home for the last 2 or 2.5 months. And I have a, you know, kind of a little home office in what would be, so if it were like the 1960s and we had the neighbors over, we would either...
You would retire.
I don't know if you go in there first or after dinner, but you go into the like the formal living room, mm-hmm, and you have like a couch that you never sit on. That's where my office is. There are no doors in there. So I have a desk in there, my computer, whatever. And at the beginning of the whole COVID situation, the kids are at home. But, you know, I have a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they're crazy. It's two boys. They're insane. They're all over the place. And I can't keep them out. I'm trying to work. I'm on phone calls and stuff. I'm trying to engineer America, literally. And these kids are going crazy. My wife's on the phone. And so it's really difficult to concentrate. And I'm like, wow, it would be great if I could hang some French doors. Now, I've never done it before. I have helped hang doors, but I know it can be a bit of a job. So we were talking about it and I was saying, yeah, that's one of my big projects right now that I'd like to get done is to put up some office doors or some French doors.
Well, I actually, one of my 3 YouTube videos that's on the You Can Man YouTube channel.
Look at you.
Gorgeously shot.
Which it exists, but I only have 3 videos and it all has to do with my library renovation where I installed a pocket door, French doors, and built-ins that I never fully filmed the reveal video. So
on,
there's that.
But at least you can do that at any time.
I can. So video number 2 is all about installing. Well, I had to build out the wall to accept the French doors. So You get to see me and Josh makes a cameo towards the end of that video of us installing the French doors.
Bring in the muscle.
Yeah, but I had to build out the wall.
Dude, I want to see that video because I want to see how much we weighed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we were
monsters.
You boys were thick.
Yeah, we were pretty big. Anyhow, so you can watch that video. But, okay, look, interior doors, totally doable.
Yep.
I'm going to say, well, there's 2 different things. If you just have an interior door where you just want to replace just the door, you're keeping existing jam, that's one thing, right? Now, you will have to do some things about cutting. So, like, either if you, what do we want to say? We want to say you could either get a slab door, and that means that no hinges are routed out for it or anything like that. And when I say hinges are routed out, that's kind of a misnomer. I mean, there's no area on the door that is routed out to accept the hinge.
It's not prepared to accept any kind of hinge. You're going to have to cut it into.
You're going to have to do it yourself. Now, that may seem overwhelming, and you're like, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, they make special tools for that. Now, you will need a router. You don't have to have a router. You could chisel
just
it
chisel
out.
Chisel it, man.
See, but my dad chiseled many a door hinge.
Yeah. Now, it also depends, though. If you got like a nice solid door, maybe chiseling that out's a lot maybe a little easier, but the hollow core doors, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not but fun material.
They make a tool that helps you do the hinges and also the lock set. So it's not that bad, and you can get a, if you have a router, obviously way easier. I think that this kit comes with the router bit, maybe, the one I'm thinking
of. So does it come with a template and you know, everything that you need
and to... And then it has a bit, and the router bit has a collar that will ride on the inside of this jig, essentially. Anyhow, I'm probably doing an awful job of explaining it. It's really kind of difficult to explain on a podcast, so maybe we can link to this product or something on our show notes. So it's not that big a deal. And what I've done before is I've used the old door as a template, and you'll set it right up next to the new door to make sure that you get those hinges cut in the right spot. Okay, so there's that. Or you could rip the entire thing out and get it down to the rough opening.
Or if you've got an existing just open space, this is what you would have to do.
Right. So now when I say rough opening, I mean you can see 2x4s.
Yeah, you're taking the trim off of around the opening.
And you'd get your measurement off of that. Yep. So when you go to Home Depot, they sell the door with the jamb. And it would say this is for a rough opening of... this, right? And so it's not that big a deal. Now, doing doors is a lot like doing windows. So you are going to have to get some shims involved in doing this. And honestly, it just takes a lot of time to just get it right because your opening is usually not going to be completely square.
Right.
And I will say that it helps tremendously to have another person helping you. It can get to be a really big headache really quickly, but I think that going into changing out a door, just go ahead and block off time blocking, right guys? And just give yourself some time because it's not something that happens really quickly. It can if you got like a really, really square opening and it's super straightforward. I mean, I've done it before where I'm like, wow, okay, that actually just went really, really quickly.
Are you getting this done in a day if you're putting in new French doors in an opening without a door? Are you getting it done in a day? Is it a weekend?
You can do it in a day.
If you know what you're doing, you can do it in a day. If you do a lot of prep, like there's tons of YouTube videos. Again, I talk about Keystone Carpenter on Instagram. Has a bunch of great... He's like a... I don't know how he does it. It's like witchcraft to me, but he can hang doors like so perfect and all the gaps are amazing.
Now, Josh, you and I, we did French doors at the house we lived at 15 years ago, but I feel like maybe we just didn't have any direction at that time, but I feel like it took a long time to get those up.
Yeah, I mean, that was a situation where we cut through a wall and put in...
Right, we cut an opening in that wall and then installed French doors in said opening.
Yep. So we started from scratch.
Right.
But
yeah, especially on something like French doors, especially if they're like a wider, you know, each door is wide. It starts getting really wonky. So when you buy these things, they've got things in place to keep the door
from swinging
open and everything.
Kind of keeps itself square a little bit.
Exactly. So now, you obviously have to take those things off before you install it. And once you take those things off, it's like...
It is. Yeah, it's all
it's
over
like
the
holding
place.
A slinky.
It's all over the place. And so you've got to kind of prepare yourself for that.
Now, there may be some people even laughing at what we're saying right now because I've seen the pros. They take the doors totally off. They do the jams first. And then they... mount the door.
See, ain't nobody got time for that.
But they get their they get their opening perfect, and then they put the doors within the opening.
You know,
and
I mean, your measurements probably have to be do so that. Spot on. I don't know. I have often thought I'm probably doing this wrong.
Yeah, I've done it every time with the doors on because I just don't trust myself to make.
Yeah, you pick the assembly up and set
perfect
it in
perfect enough.
There.
Right. Yeah, but that's apparently probably the way the pros do it.
Yeah, so hopefully this has given you some encouragement that you can actually do interior doors and it's no problem. Hey, invite a friend over, like we say, with a little help from your friends. And you're going to need help from your friends to do the door. Plan ahead and get a buddy to come over and help you do those doors, but you can totally do that yourself. We'll be back after the break.
This episode is sponsored by 1776 United. 1776 United is a patriotic and historically inspired lifestyle brand. They make the best patriotic shirts and apparel on the market today. I personally own many of their products, and if you want to don patriotic gear without looking gaudy, check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and at 1776united.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Dave has a segment for us this week. Dave, what you got for us?
All right, so this week we're doing a segment called Trick My Whip.
Trick My Whip.
Trick My Whip. I wanted to do Trick My Ride, but...
It's about Fast and the Furious?
It is about Fast and the Furious. No, so the way this came about was I was listening to an audiobook in my car a couple of weeks ago, and I went... to the car wash, because I'm back doing the car wash thing for a month.
Getting
or
your
so.
Money back.
Yeah. So I go to the car wash. I'm listening to the audiobook. I pull into the car wash. It's one of the ones where, like, it drives your car through there. You stay in the car. But by the way, those things have come a long way.
Yes.
They have so come nice. I remember my parents, we would go to, like, the Shell station yeah. in the wood panel minivan. And we would drive through there, and the thing just gets, like, beat all over the place. That brush comes down that spins.
But the felt flaps.
And, like, and, just yeah. tears the paint off the sweet minivan. It's a lot better than that now. Anyway, so I'm at the car wash going through. It's, like, a little two-minute experience. And I don't want to pause the book on tape. Book on tape. Do they even do that anymore? I don't want to pause the audio book because I'm so engrossed in it. So I'm just cranking this thing. It's really loud in there. And I've got my radio just maxed out, and I probably did some hearing damage. Anyway, I pull out of the car wash, and my speakers are buzzing, right? So I had turned this up so loud that I blew my speakers
what?
In the back seat.
Whoops.
With an audiobook.
Yeah.
You weren't even listening to like
no,
some
I wasn't,
crazy music.
No, I wasn't cranking the tune.
How old man of that is you? You just blew yeah. your speakers listening to an audiobook.
With the spoken word. All right.
Wow.
So my Honda Accord speakers are hurting right now. And so whenever there's any kind of bass, it's the like.
No.
Yeah, I know. So I'm thinking, I'm like, well, I gotta buy speakers now for my car. And it was like a light bulb. I'm like. Huh.
I'm 16 again.
Yeah, like that's.
I've done this before.
This is the first thing that I used to do yeah. when I had a car. Yeah. I was like, I'd spend all of the money I had, $150, and buy four speakers for my car. And it's weird. It occurred to me. I was like, I used to do so many stupid things to my car and just waste my money when I didn't have any money, like trying to trick out my car. And now
I'd
that
say
I have
like,
a couple.
I'd never spend that.
Right. Well, yeah. now I have a couple coins to rub together and I haven't spent anything on my car ever.
I tell
ever.
You, Dave, I got you beat. I mean, I have got you beat. You want to talk about stuff that we used to do with our cars?
Well, that's what we're going to do today. I want to know, we can do this however you guys want, but the first thing that I thought of was I want to hear the first thing. I'm going to preface this. I want to hear the first thing that you guys did to your first car. Now,
how much time you got?
Right. So the reason I say that is because I think like the first time I ever talked to Tim, I was 16 years old. The first time that I talked to him when he wasn't literally screaming at me to do pushups.
He was recruiting you for marching band.
Right.
That was the very first
time. That was the first time. You're right. But the second time, I guess, was I drove for the first time I drove to school. And Tim's like, you drove this car? It was a 1972 442 Cutlass. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, here's what I would do. This is the first thing I would do to this thing. He's like, I'd pull the grill out. I'd put it and I'd paint it because the grill was kind of faded.
I have no recollection of this.
I'd spray paint this grill black. And I'm like, that's not a bad idea. Never did it. But yeah, I'm just curious. What is the first thing that you guys did?
That
to
is
your
so
first
weird.
Car?
I have no recollection of that. That's
well,
so
you
weird.
Told me that's what you would do. And
I don't know what I did first, man. I had so many things.
Was this the Bronco 2?
The Bronco 2. I had
your first
a 1990 two-tone tan and brown gorgeous Bronco 2 5-speed manual transmission. Mm.
It's the car I learned how to drive a stick on.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yep. I think I taught several people how to drive a stick shift.
You were one of the only kids I knew that had a stick shift.
All right, hold on. I did too, but whatever.
So,
yeah.
I think maybe, I mean, it probably was the speakers, honestly. I think I replaced the speakers.
It's the go-to.
But the one funny thing I was thinking of is I put Do you guys remember Splitfire spark plugs?
Yes.
Yes.
And that was like the thing.
Well, that was the thing to do was plugs and wires. Yeah. That's what you would do to your car.
So I did that. Because
it was
that.
Like under $50.
Yes. I put the sticker on the car.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, look, I am proud of these Splitfires. It just gave me like 50 horsepower.
I can't, dude.
And these are things that are amazing. Total marketing, just junk. Total junk. Josh, did you do the same thing?
First mod, my 92 is the adult version of Tim's car. My 92 two-tone Ford Explorer. Blue,
yes.
Blue and silver with the blue interior.
Blue on blue, right.
Oh, that blue interior always just never sat well.
I remember the first time gorgeous. I saw it and I was like, oh, jeez.
Like the outside looked nice. Yeah, and you open the door and you're good. Like, oh.
Yeah, all those early 90s Fords, like the Rangers with like the red interior.
Yeah, the red. It was like three-tone red blue.
Dash. It wasn't like just the seats and the carpet. It was the
dash. Everything.
Right. All right, anyway. So my 92 Explorer, Tim already said like the head unit and speakers. I think that was probably mine. But the one beyond that was fog lights.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes. And I did it right with the
The switch on the inside.
Switch.
What's funny about that, I don't know if you ever got that right. But so that Explorer was passed down through the generations, right? So passed down to your next youngest brother. And I remember he and I, we put a switch in there, but it always had power, and so it would melt the switch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was, we didn't put a fuse on it,
right?
And we didn't hook it up through a relay or anything. Yeah. It was basically just hot-wired just that like junk. A hot light, like, but I had the switch, so.
You had the switch. I think the first thing I did, it was either the speakers or did you ever, like, take your airbox apart?
Or drill a
hole. K&N air filter.
So, yeah, you do the K&N, but I left the top off of my air box, and I zip-tied the air filter in there so it would be open and could get more air, right? So
you
could do a cold air intake, which, you know, you had to spend $200 on, which I didn't have because I bought speakers. I did a hot air intake where I just took the box off, and it actually made a difference until my dad's mechanic saw it and said, Jim, you're gonna have to talk to your son. Tell him to put that back on there. So that went on back on pretty quickly.
I'm gonna one up you on that because my second car, which was a 93 Ford Probe GT, I did a cold air intake.
Nice.
And here's what I did because we're poor.
Did you buy
PVC? Should we explain a cold air intake to our listeners?
I think so.
Our audience couldn't is educated. Hurt. So that
I know.
Don't do that anymore. I mean,
no, it's still a thing.
You're basically rerouting where the air intake is so that it is not sucking in warm air from
cold
the engine
air. Cold air is denser.
Cooler, so, denser air provides more power.
Exactly. And so it's basically tubing that takes your air filter from inside the engine compartment and drops it down below the engine, generally, right?
So what I did, because I needed that horsepower,
gotta have it.
I bought a plastic downspout, black downspout. It was rectangular, like the end piece to a downspout.
When you say downspout, you mean for like
for
a house.
Gutter? For house. This gutters. Is all Home Depot built.
So it was good for the hot temperature of a...
I tucked it so that it stuck out under the front, under the grill, under the...
under the bumper?
Yeah, what do they call that piece? I'm such an old man now.
Oh, you're talking about like the air dam or something.
Yeah,
or
the lowest front spoiler. So right under there. And so it was super low to the ground. And so got that. I got rigid flex ducting from a dryer that fit right there. Zip tied all that or screwed it or something. And then I ran that ducting straight to the airbox. So it was a true...
That's a cold air intake.
Cold air intake from Home Depot for about, you know, $12.50.
Okay.
With the K&N air filter, which also added like 50 to 60 horsepower.
They said that it would add like 15 horses. I think that was debunked. I think that's been debunked. It's not true.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's not true.
Okay.
But it was one of those things where like when I would be going fast down the highway, you're like, oh, I can totally
smell. I can totally hear it. Yeah.
Okay. Another one of my favorite mods that I did, and you guys are all going to remember this. Okay. I had a CB radio and I mounted a speaker behind my grill.
A PA.
And I had a PA.
I used to think that was the funniest thing in the world.
It was awesome. I mean, when you're 16 years old and you got this speaker, this loudspeaker mounted back up behind your grill, and I just roll up on people and then be able to talk to them from inside my car.
That's amazing.
I need to do that now. I mean, that sounds great.
Would you ever, Josh, he had the same thing, and he would play the weather report, like, from the CB, like, through the speaker. And we'd be riding, he'd like, flip that thing on, and he'd be like, don't move. And I couldn't contain myself. Like, I'm just, like, laughing in the passenger seat.
I have not seen that since. I have not seen anybody that's done that. We used to go, it sounds so stupid now, but we would go, I remember going to, like, a local park. It was like later at night and people were like still playing out tennis or something. And I would pull up and just be like, park's closed. Yeah. Park closed at 10.
That is really stupid.
Whatever. And then they'd stop playing tennis and they're like, okay. Like, you know.
Yeah. Hey, all I got to say is the world should listen to teenagers. They're the smartest people.
They are. They know what to
like,
do.
We should all really listen. Yeah. Closely.
Let's not do that.
Okay, my last one. I cut a hole in the roof of my car and installed
a
sunroof.
No, really?
It was
How bad did it leak?
Oh, like a sieve. Like, I mean, it was just like, I had to park on an incline. And if I parked on an incline, it wouldn't really leak.
Nice.
Otherwise, it was real bad.
How did you cut that hole? Like a sawzall? Just got up there?
Angle grinder, man. We just like taped it off. We're like, okay, let's do this.
Is this a thing today? Like, first of all, I hear like, I don't know what percentage, but so many kids aren't even getting their license when they turn 16. Now.
What They're is like, up with that?
That
so weird.
Was literally
That's what
the
I lived
number
for.
One rite of passage during my high school years.
Absolutely.
It was the epitome.
And now you can get it without a driving test. You know, what are you waiting for?
They pulled that back.
They
recently pulled it.
I never
during
heard
COVID,
about that.
During COVID, they were letting people get a license or something, but governor decided not a good idea. Anyway, do they still, so I'm wondering, like, if driver's licenses are barely a thing now, like, that nobody's getting excited about it, are young men modifying their cars?
Well,
like, that's all we did.
It is.
That's
but
all
we came
I
up, like,
about.
During, like, the tuner market, you know, when that was, like, a big thing.
It's true. Nopey Nationals.
Now, people have been modifying cars since the dawn of time, right? I feel like it was more commonplace back in our day in the 90s, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
late
the
90s,
50s
early
and
2000s.
60s, like, guys did that too.
Yeah, they did it.
But all right, listeners, if you are, let's say, sub 22.
Yeah.
I'd go a little bit older than that.
Really?
Yeah. 25.
Okay, if you're sub 25, you need to tune in or just shoot us a message.
Hit us on Facebook.
I don't
know. Let us know. What
Let
have you
us
done?
Know on your Facebook on our Facebook group what you have done.
Have Is you put it, a short throw shifter in your five speed? Now they probably can't drive a stick, but I mean, tried to put a short throw shifter in there, a secondhand one that was broken. I'm wondering if they've done that kind of stuff.
I remember my brother had an F-150 and it was a manual transmission. He somehow drilled a hole in a pool ball.
Did he really?
Screwed that on.
I wanted
his
a cue ball so bad on my gear shifter. I wanted it so bad and I never had it. I didn't even think to use an actual cue ball.
Yeah.
It never
that's
occurred
what he
to
did.
Me.
So
it's genius.
Okay, good segment there, Dave.
There you go.
I'm gonna think of like all these other mods that I did.
Oh, this is I've only scratched the surface.
Oh yeah, we could go
this
all
is,
night.
It's literally like during class at school, I'm thinking like, okay, what can I do to this car?
Yeah.
With no money.
Yeah.
That was the thought.
Yeah. Totally. You know what I just thought of too is black magic. The stuff you put on the plastic.
The plastics,
yeah. Yeah,
like
and
Arlo?
Yes.
Yeah, it made, like, shine your wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Look wet.
Yeah.
I got to mention this one. Okay, just came to me. Sorry, we're running long here. Everyone's going to laugh, I hope.
Go for it. Send it.
Pantyhose over the taillights.
Yes.
What that, was up with
I
never
did that?
I did
that on the Probe. It was like, it would give you a smoked out look because
they didn't sell covers for the Probe. You couldn't get smoked out taillights for the Probe.
Could
and that's
not?
Why we did the pantyhose.
Well, I could never even afford the smoked lens covers.
It's like $100.
So you got black pantyhose.
Right.
And stretched it out over the whole light housing. And then you can just snap it back into place.
You had to cut holes for the bulbs to go through.
Yeah.
This is hilarious.
Snap it back and you'd have smoke tail.
A guy asked me, he stopped me in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. He's like, hey, man, where did you get those smoke tail lights for your probe? Because I had a probe too. I bought mine first. He's like, where'd you get them? I'm like, dude, it's pantyhose. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, man, just get some pantyhose. He's like, thanks, buddy.
That's so weird. Like, what did you guys think when you just like...
That's embarrassing, but it looks really good.
You strolled up on good. your probe and you're like, man, now, that looks good.
The weird part is we live in Georgia. It did look good, but in Georgia, we have really bad pollen. And so my car, that probe was parked outside during the pollen days. Like the pollen would get caught in the pantyhose.
You got to take those pantyhose off and wash them.
You got to run them through the rinse cycle with your AirPods.
I'm going to get you a picture of that probe to post on the blog.
With the tail lights?
Or the show notes.
Yeah.
The probe is like a ghost car. I mean, you don't see them anymore.
Well, because they were gigantic pieces of junk, man. I put 2 engines, 3 transmissions, and literally like 6 clutches in that car. It was terrible.
I went through a few clutches.
Why?
But terrible.
Why, Dave? Why?
It was a Mazda 626 engine.
It was a Mazda 626 engine, and it was just a piece of junk. It was a big engine just shoehorned into that car, and it didn't run great. It was a fun car, gigantic piece of junk.
Good looking, too.
And it was great looking, and it was called a probe.
Yeah, what were they thinking with that name?
Anyhow. Not a good name.
Okay, guys, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for spending your time with us on the You Can Man podcast, and we will catch you guys next time.